Welcome to XIV Light Party, everybody. And today it's World Mental Health Day, and we've queued up for the Duty Finder to talk to you about our mental health as content creators and the issues that can often arise when you decide to put yourself and your work online. Just as a disclaimer, this is a heavier topic, so we advise those who might be triggered or upset by this discussion to tune in next time when we're going to be our usual silly selves and having a fuck about. Also, please note that none of us are psychological or medical professionals, and we will not be offering diagnoses of any kind, just our lived experiences as creators on multiple platforms. We'll be talking today about imposter syndrome, a common issue experienced by creators all over the world, and additional issues that play into it, as well as how they impact our creative processes and the ability to create content for the podcast and its various facets. Imposter syndrome, as many of you know, is feelings of inadequacy and a nagging doubt that can persist despite evident success. Imposters, or the people suffering from the syndrome, suffer from chronic self-doubt and a sense of intellectual fraudulence that override any feelings of success or external proof of their competence. Basically, you think you ain't worth shit. So let's transition, slide nicely into question time. I know this is going to be tough for some of us, but it's got to be done. So how's everybody doing today? Everybody doing good? I don't want to... Oh, well, I guess that's...
The doggo has a lot to say, and they are doing very good.
Doing all right.
Does the doggo feel that they're an imposter? They are not being doge enough?
Not being doge enough. Sorry, my dog does not think that it's cat enough.
I mean...
Oh my goodness.
It's true though. Okay, so with that, it's common to not be fully confident in what you're doing or to have doubts about what you're doing. I mean, happens to me all the time. But when do you guys feel that for you, it's crossed the line for you as a creator? Like, have you ever been so disheartened that you just fell prey to procrastination, or have you like even outright abandoned something because you felt like, hey, this isn't going to be good enough, so why even bother?
I have countless times over years, over my entire lifetime. Actually, I think even getting this particular podcast going as far as helping with it was, I think there was a long time where, and I know at least I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if we can do it on our own. I don't know if I can do enough to help, you know, with us, it just being the four of us. Like, you know, it's easier to hide, I guess, amongst a forest in a way.
It is, though, because when you've got a large amount of people, it's easier to just kind of like say, well, maybe it would function better with a larger team. But when you have a small team, I understand how that can be quite daunting. I mean, I felt daunted by it, definitely. Like, I was like, oh, is this going to work? Is this actually going to work? Turns out it did. But, you know, I had my doubts. I don't think I would blame anyone. I mean, brand new team right out of the gate. We had no idea what resources we were going to need. We were just kind of like, you know, winging it by the seat of our pants. I mean, anybody would have doubts at that point, but like serious doubts, I don't blame anyone for having those. Like I kind of felt it was going to be like a little more miss than hit at some points.
Mm-hmm.
Telpcar, what about you guys?
I consider myself a creator for about 10 years now. And one of the issues that has definitely come up in that time frame, especially, is imposter syndrome and experiencing in like various levels. I know that I've had to figure out, I guess, why when I work on something, then I just stop working on something, like the reason behind it and stuff like that. But I've been dealing with this for a very long time. And the crazy thing is that I didn't actually have a name for it until recently. And that's thanks to multiple sources, I believe. A lot of people talking about it right now on social media.
Which is good because it does it needs some exposure.
Absolutely. It's helping me now because I could see on these social media spaces, you know, the discussion about imposter syndrome. And so when I started digging a little bit more into it from what was being said on Twitter and other sites, I then started to relate very heavily to what was being described. You know, these articles that I've read and the research that I've done, I get a couple mentions here and there that pop up in my timeline. And every time I've read a discussion about the subject of imposter syndrome, it's as if it's describing me. Like I literally see myself in the writing about the subject of imposter syndrome. I'm like, this is why I haven't done anything. And, you know, I have tried so hard. So fun fact, I've done a lot of really random side jobs, I should say, and things that I could have taken into a more professional slash career since, and have never pushed it to that point because of things like imposter syndrome. And I have this issue. It comes up all the time, but there would have been a time in my life where I could have been a professional D&D teacher, like paid to teach D&D, and I dropped it because of imposter syndrome. I felt like I couldn't have done that. Like I punished myself because I felt like I wasn't good enough to do this thing that I was being asked to do. And it's happened various times because, you know, for example, they allow people to publish this stuff professionally. And I haven't. And why don't I do this? Because I want to do it so bad. But why don't I do this? Because my brain is also telling me you can't, or it's not good enough, or no one's going to see it. And it's all these statements that pop up that I now realize that I'm not the only one feeling this way. And it's fascinating to know that. It's almost empowering, I think, to know that I'm not the only one, and that it's actually a very common experience, especially among people who create. In these articles and stuff that I read, you know, they say, I think it was Forbes mentioned it, that 70% of people in the professional creation sphere struggle with this. And I was like, that's a big number. That's a huge number.
It's fairly prevalent. And like you said, people didn't learn about it or give it kind of like a proper definition until fairly recently. I can't remember whenabouts that was, but
yeah, it's very recent in my timeline, at least.
It's affected creative types, like, for a while, for a long while, like longer than we've been around. It goes back to like thespians and actors. Like people are saying Shakespeare had it, you know? It's been around, but they've just not given it a definition until now, which, I mean, you think about the creative works that could have come out of people if they just knew about this that long ago. It's nuts.
Exactly. It's a huge fight, honestly. And I think what was really helpful to know is that because of its nature, because it's so common and it's something that everyone's going to experience at some point, you know, taking the opportunity to read other people's statements on the subject, how they've beaten it, how, or at least there was one article specifically that I read, and it's from a website called World Anvil, and they mentioned that they're basically backseat drivers and they're not going to go away.
It's a nagging voice in the back of your head.
So the strategy that was suggested on this page or on this blog page about the subject of imposter syndrome was to basically tell them to stop talking. Like, you know, they will not leave that space. You have to acknowledge that they're there, but then don't like give them the opportunity to continue speaking. Just be like, all right, hey, thanks for talking, but you're in the back seat. I'm in the front seat. I'm driving. Shush. Literally. And
I will turn the car around.
I will turn the car around. But you basically have to have a conversation with yourself. And that was the suggested thing, is realize that this is not something, you're not a bad person for feeling this way. It's not, the effects is very, very common. And they were saying that what you need to do is just recognize it as a natural experience and then kind of still go and do those things that you want to do. And that was like really empowering for me. Once again, have dropped so many opportunities in my life because of imposter syndrome, because given the opportunity to do things and people said, you're really good at this, you should make this a career. And then I was like, nope. And I just poofed, you know, didn't actually complete that opportunity. And it's rough because, you know, you're sitting there once that happens, of course, when it affects you, and then you have those moments where you drop the opportunity to create or do anything like that, then you're kind of just punishing yourself, and internally you're just like, why did I allow that to happen? Why didn't I just do the thing? You know, I am a creator. I should be able to do this. Why can't I do this? And it's just this endless cycle of, nope, can't do it. Dang, why didn't I do this? And then just you spiral into this constant like Mobius strip of self hatred, I guess. I don't know. At least
more like self doubt, really, isn't it?
Yeah, self. You just get so mad at yourself for not doing things, and yeah, it is absolutely frustrating. And I think I'm really glad that we have a chance to talk about it, because it's definitely something that needs to be brought up and something that should be shared with everybody.
Right.
You aren't alone in this experience. Plenty of us are going through it right now as we speak, you know. So yeah, that's my experience with it. it's been pretty prevalent aspect of my life for a couple of years.
No, it affected you personally and professionally, which is terrifying, the reach of this thing generally is. What about you, Tilp?
Yeah, I kind of stand with Crow on this. I've had countless experiences out of the quite a few years of being a streamer, video production member, photography. I've been through countless moments where I've done something good, ready to push it, and then at the last moment just look at it myself and just decide that it's not even worth the time and
you
effort.
You sabotage yourself effectively, essentially.
And then I end up turning in something completely different that did hinder what probably would have been better after showing people what I've submitted and what I've actually wanted to put out.
It's a pain the way it does that. It's kind of like, okay, you whipped up this thing, you've cooked up this thing, and it's super good. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to submit this. And then you look over it and you're just like, actually, I'm not going to do it. And you balk at the last moment. Yeah. I've done that a bunch of times and I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. It's so awful.
I think the earliest one that I could actually remember is when I was doing drawings and sketches and I got asked to help with a storyboard. Storyboard, for those that are listening, if you are actually going into film production, storyboards don't need to be perfect. And I had like, I wouldn't say stick figures, but it was like rough outlines of people. And I felt that wasn't good enough for their storyboard. Just so you know, it is good enough because the storyboard isn't the final product. It doesn't need to be perfect. So if you do something like that, just know it's what you do is going to be good enough for them as long as it conveys the story that they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just I couldn't get myself over that hurdle. And yeah.
You're out here thinking you have to be Da Vinci or something like, ah.
Not necessarily Da Vinci, but, you know, like all those great artists out there, especially the ones that are doing commissions in countless other projects.
Actually, that segues perfectly into our next point. One of the very common roots of imposter syndrome is actually this little thing that our brain does, this little niggling thing. It's like this unfortunate ability to formulate a really unreasonable picture of what others are like, as well as like their capabilities as a person. Like, you hype them up in your brain, you put them up on a pedestal. And you've just said, Tilp, I mean, obviously you find you comparing yourself to like other creators unnecessarily, comparing yourself to our peers. I mean, do we all do that to an extent? I think we all do. I can't speak for all of you, obviously, but I know I do all the time. And it essentially crippled the fact that I wanted to go into art and stuff. And Dylan can tell you, I used to do this a long time ago. And then due to imposter syndrome and comparing myself constantly to people who had much more experience than I did, unnecessarily, I basically sabotaged myself. I sabotaged being able to go to university. I sabotaged my ability to practice more. I just gave up. And I think about that often. Like, it doesn't make me sad or anything, but it does make me, you know, a little disappointed in the fact that I gave up something that genuinely brought me so much joy. I just compared myself to people too often, and it sucked all the joy out of it.
It does.
Yeah, I can definitely say that. I think, and one important thing, kind of an addendum, I think, in my mind at least, is especially with the reality that we live in now, and something that I came to realize maybe a few months ago, I would say. I can't really pinpoint it, but started recognizing how our current setting with social media and how it works and the algorithms, right? Always pushing to the front of our pages, quote, the best of the best. And so
right,
when we're scrolling through our feeds, as they are designed to convince us to scroll, right? Like the whole unending scroll, like that's designed with purpose, that was created on purpose to keep people going through that content. And every time you're seeing something, it's always this really well done thing that gets all these attentions and these retweets and stuff like that. So that becomes the metric by which you feel success is defined. And then you're wanting to post stuff, but then you're asking yourself, will it get the same amount of retweets? And then if it doesn't, or if you aren't seeing the same effects, like if it's not going to the front, like that stuff that you are basing your work on, if it's not showing up the same way, it generates that feedback that turns into this hypercriticism that you just aren't able to really get the hurdle over. And it's really crazy to see how they're at, you know, coming to know that these creators, especially the ones that do manage to have these events where their stuff gets sent to the front because of the algorithm, that they don't consider stuff good.
It generates the am I good enough question, which is toxic as all hell. It really, really is.
And it's super tiered because it's like when you don't think your work is good and then you find out that the people that you idol or are following or, you know, see as mentors, when they don't think their work is good because they have their mentors and their idols. And then it's just endless chain of people who don't think they're good enough. And everyone's looking up, but not looking where they stand, you know, not looking in front of them kind of thing. And, you know, we might not be able to fly, but hey, we could still stand where we're at and do and change and do what we can in that space we have. Because I think that's the important thing is to remember everyone has unique ability that is intrinsic to themselves that only they can create. And comparing yourself to others is dangerous because in a way you're denying that uniqueness because you're expecting to be something that they have.
You brought that up yesterday on Maelstrom Radio, didn't you? Like when Fibus asked us, hey, what are you bringing to the table? What's unique about you? I think it is important for people to remember you are unique. There's only one of you. Only you can create the thing that you're creating here.
Yep.
Don't look at what Bob over there is doing. Like, don't go cheating off of his test or anything like that. Like, just do you. Just that's the important thing to remember. And don't compare yourself to others all the time. Your development is going to be different. The rate at which you develop is going to be different.
Yep.
It's so common. Just comparing it, like, Tilp segued us into it. Like, he compared himself to other people and, like, screwed himself out of a professional obligation, you know, like a professional opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. And it sucks that we only know about this right now.
Recently,
it's getting attention.
Now it's getting attention. Like, the biggest thing, so I think I've mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it on podcasts, but I definitely have mentioned before in a various conversations. So sometimes it might be repeated. But when I was in high school, I wrote a novel series. It's not published. I never published it. I don't want to publish it. And it kind of drags me down a bit because it's like I put all this work into this, right? And got it edited and everything. And I had this really cool concept and I really wanted to share it with people. I created the characters. I wrote all these stories. I drew all this art for it and I shared every once in a while online, but still was, you know, algorithm. And this was before I realized algorithm was a thing, but everyone's art on the front of the page was obviously the one that was getting the most attention. So my little sketches here and there got a couple likes, a couple comments. And I was like, man, these must be bad then. That's not a good metric to use because once again, it's math, not your talent, not your ability, not your uniqueness. That's the problem.
It's a robot.
It's just a robot. So here I am, you know, slowly not putting as much commitment or time and effort into the art and stuff like that, but just sticking to the writing. I have never shared that story, right? I wrote all the stuff and it never got published. And now it's like, I've been trying to recently unpack it because I want to kind of reuse some of the material, but it's so defeating to see how much work a person can do and it never sees the light of day because of this fear, because of this anxiety that's created from the brain telling them they're not good enough. And
yeah, you look over at George R. R. Martin, you look back to what you've done, it's like, well, actually, maybe I just won't post it.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part too, because it's like these are professionals who've been doing, like, realizing that they've been doing this for a very long time. So yes, of course they're good because they've done it for so long. They've practiced so hard at what they do. You know, that's how they land these deals. That's how they get mentioned all the time. But for some reason, despite that objective fact, as it's observed, you're still stuck thinking, well, I can't be the next Tolkien, so goodbye. It's like, what?
Right.
What? Why is that a thought? Why does that happen at all? Why does that show up at all in our brains? But it does. And we're not the only ones. Like, it's a very, very common thing where we end up getting stuck in this chain of thinking that we have to be like the greatest, despite the difference of, you know, time in that work that they've done and experience in that work that they've done. It's honestly just really interesting. I don't know if that's the word. I have a word and I don't know which one to use, but
it's hard.
Words are hard, but it's the observation of it as a very common thing among human beings is very interesting to note because it's so we go through this all the time is, you know, despite our uniqueness, boom, here's this person that's famous for what we want to do. And we feel like we have to be like that. And it's like, no, that takes a lot of time. Like you gotta start from the beginning, right? That's not a bad thing. That's never, you know, it's never been bad to start at the beginning. But for some reason, we want to already be at the top of the mountain before we even start climbing. And
right,
it's crazy, like how that can just stop the entire process entirely and deny you the ability to create what you want to create.
Dylan, what about you?
Sorry, I'm kind of collecting my thoughts.
It's a lot to unpack, isn't it?
It is a lot to unpack. And the thing is that it's like ever present, and it's something that you kind of have to constantly deal with. I think also it mixes with a lot of other things and can mix with a lot of other conditions. Like, you know, I generally have anxiety to begin with. So
right.
Anxiety on top of, you know, or imposter syndrome rather, on top of anxiety, it's just kind of like a lot, and it can be very, very overwhelming. I think especially within content creation, and even though this is somewhat of a separate issue, but it's also the same issue, I feel, in a way. It's, I think, especially as a female, and, you know, other people who are, I guess, you know, of minority or, you know, other minorities within the gaming, video gaming content creation sphere.
Because it is male dominated. It is.
Like, yeah, I think just before you kind of even get to the point of your idea, you're like, well, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I'm just not, you know, and that's before you even get to your work today. Like, you know, I was talking to you guys today as far as about posting a video. I feel like not only does my stuff have to be as good, but it has to be better. And the reason it has to be better, because otherwise, if it's not better, not only is it going to be seen as, to me, as being subpar, am I going to feel that it's subpar, but I have that fear of really opening myself up to a lot of vulnerability. And that's kind of, I say, the other part of the, I think, the imposter syndrome, where it's, again, it's different, but it's the same in the fact that even I have the self-doubt, I have the, my work isn't going to be good enough, but then I also have, what is everybody else going to think of it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just want to hide under my desk.
I relate to that, especially because of course, I'm the asset designer behind this podcast. I think every day about how that is going to reflect on you guys. I'm like, should I push this? Is this good enough? Is that good enough? Am I going to be able to do this? Is my layout going to work? Is it going to look good? Or are people going to think we're a bunch of scrubs? It extends beyond me to you guys and how that kind of fallout is going to affect how people look at you. And that can be crippling sometimes. So I relate to what you said, like absolutely 100%. It's like, what are people going to think of me? And then what are people going to think of my team? You know, are they going to give my team shit? I don't want them to do that.
Oh yeah. Imposter syndrome in the context of also being on a team. Yeah. There is that, I say, that other aspect of, oh my goodness, I'm going to let my team down. And I think that it's one of the things, as far as, you know, the nice part of having a team is, and especially like if we're honest about those thoughts with each other, we can support each other.
Yeah, we can check each other's shit and just be like, no, you're fine. Like when you brought up the video, I was just like, just post it. It's good. I like it. It's meme. It's great. I love this thing. Post it.
I'm still looking at it and I'm just like, I'm actually like chewing on my fingernails. I'm like, what? Like if I post this, like, is it going to turn into a thing? Could this potentially wreck our entire podcast? A freaking video, Dylan.
Just post it.
But yeah, it's just a freaking video, Dylan. It's like, just post it. Push the button. But I still haven't pushed the button.
Do it anyway.
I will in a minute.
Do
it for the memes. Besides, the original wasn't like the thing on the top of the Sistine Chapel anyway, was it? If you think about it.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to spoil what the thing is because it's fun and I want everybody to have a good time when they first watch it. But, you know, it's not. The original was not the Sistine Chapel painting or anything, you know.
And it's you're right. It's not. And I'm definitely like, it is exactly the definition that you gave as far as putting something else on a pedestal, you know, when it's, you're comparing yourself to people who had a lot more experience. And that's kind of us. Like, I think our content creation, we just started. Like, I think our episode was a little over a week ago for this particular podcast. You know, we were part of a previous project, but we didn't have as much responsibility, not by a long shot, I don't think.
Nope.
And, you know, here we are just a little bit over a week. And I'm sure, like, I know in the back of my head, I have those comparisons like, oh, are we doing as, are we going to do as well as, you know, so-and-so, or is our, you know, audio quality as good? Do we sound as good? Are we being as interesting? Are we, you know, being engaging and entertaining? Are we doing all of these things? It's like, you know what? We are a little bit over a week old. We'll get there. This is something that, you know, we have to practice. We have to develop our abilities. And I think that's the other part of also all of this is constantly comparing ourselves to, like, you know, trying to get ourselves to that end point, to that end goal, when all of this is just, it's a journey. It is constantly improving. It's constantly moving forward. It is making mistakes. Like, you know, as far as the whole imposter syndrome, it's like, yeah, you know, one of the biggest worries I think with that is making mistakes of it not being good enough. So what? So what if it's not good enough? And that's kind of one thing before we started this, that's, I kind of gave myself that pet top. It's like, so what if it's not good enough? So what if you fall on your face? It's going to hurt. It's going to suck, but there will be something to have at least learned from that, I hope.
Yeah, we got to learn to walk before we can run.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I want to talk about is a lot of people who experience imposter syndrome actually find it hard to, you know, accept praise or accolades for what they do, for their work. And really, how often do we find ourselves turning down compliments? Because I tell you, I am shit at taking a compliment. I cannot do it for the life of me. It is the most, it's almost impossible for me to do. And I know that that's a combination of factors for me, because I am a survivor of domestic abuse, and I was diagnosed with PTSD, which I am in recovery from. So it's kind of exacerbated in a way. I just cannot take a compliment. I cannot. An imposter syndrome, especially when it comes to my work for a light party, when you guys say, hey, this looks really, really good, or this sounds really, really good, when I, you know, whip up a piece of music or whatever, it's like, I just don't believe it. I don't believe any of you. And I hate that. Like, that's awful for me. I should believe you. I've known you guys for years. Dylan, I've known the longest. I still can't take a compliment from her. Like, it is fucked up. It really is.
Yeah, that's something I can definitely relate to as well, for sure. The fact that so many people are trying, and I've noticed that as well. It's like the discussion has been, here I am trying to praise or give a very well thought response to this person's art, and they're just like, yeah, this, the what you just said, I don't believe that at all, kind of thing. And it's like, we've had this conversation. So many people are like, I don't know how, you know, we'll tell everybody that their work is good and they don't believe it. But then that's the creator conundrum, I suppose, that every single person has ever made anything, especially, you know, in the current sphere of things, what they, their impression of what they're making is always going to be different from everyone else's. And that's just, it just, it's the worst thing. Cause it's like, you end up every once in a while listening to yourself more than anyone else, despite sometimes an overwhelming amount of voices from the outside telling you that it's good. Like, you'll have multiple people say this is good, but because you say it's not good, that's the fact.
Everybody is their own worst critic, essentially. Oh, God, and yes. That this is what feeds back into this. And you think about mm-hmm. the previous point, you compare yourself to other people all the time, and then you can't accept praise.
Exactly.
It just, it's an Ouroboros of, like, fuckery. It really is. Like, mm-hmm. it all feeds back into itself and just creates this toxic, negative space in your head. I mean, I don't feel like I deserve praise, like, at all. Hell no. Absolutely the McFuck not.
I was just doing what I was meant to do. Dot, dot, dot.
No, that's a really good point, Tilp, actually. I feel like, no, I'm providing a necessary function. Like, I don't necessarily deserve praise. I'm providing a function to you guys by doing what I do. That's not how it is in reality, but my lizard brain is a terrible thing, and it's rubbish.
I'm just going to say, have you seen... Okay, this is not me complimenting myself, just to be clear. Have you can do that seen anyway. How awesome, though, your graphics have made my videos look? They actually look like... I mean, it took them from, like, third grade project to at least eighth grade project, and that's like five whole grades.
Does that mean we can put my my graphics on the fridge?
Yes. Be proud of me. Actually, no, I'm gonna go ahead and elevate it further. We're high school seniors.
Nice.
Maybe not top of the class, but we're high school seniors.
So it gets displayed in the main hallway at the entrance?
Yes. We get to be in, like, the special trophy case.
I don't know if I go that far. Ah, but there, you see, that's where it is. It's just like, oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. That is a qualifying statement for the fact that I still don't believe that it's good enough to be in that trophy case. And there it goes again. Like, it's there. It exists. It exists in everything I do. Get out. Hate it. Mm-hmm. Be gone. Is there a spray for this? Like imposter syndrome, be gone or something? Because I would really like that.
And that's the thing. Like there's so many tips and tricks and do this to make it easy for you and all this kind of stuff. But that was what I thought was really profound, mainly about the previous article I was mentioning, that they stated that, no, it's just going to be there. And you have to just tell them to like kind of just coexist, if that makes sense. And it's just like, oh, that sounds awful. But if the way they mentioned it as an actual natural part of the human experience, like a thing that we will all go through, that is where the power comes from, is realizing that you're not weird, you're not wrong. There's nothing, you know, in the inner workings of your system that is some evidence of a problem everyone goes through. And so that's why they encourage you to share, because sharing then creates that support system, right? That giving other people a chance to look at what you might be having a issue with, then they're able to point out certain things that might make it easier for you, or sometimes just be like, what do you mean? This is absolutely great. Like, you don't need to change this at all. And that's the weird thing about it. It's like feedback is really helpful for silencing imposter syndrome, but then you have to fight imposter syndrome to go get the feedback in the first place. And it's just like, oh man, this
like I said, fuckery.
Yeah, it's ongoing chain of events. And it's been mentioned a couple times, but once again, wanting to reiterate that this feeds into a lot of things. The anxiety, the fear, we have multiple situations that can play an enhancer into the imposter syndrome effect. And it's just, sometimes it just gets really tiring. But that's the big thing, is recognizing it first usually helps a lot. And then being able to push it and make sure you understand that this is a natural part of the experience helps a lot. But it's still going to be there. And it's still hard as hell to try to tell it to go away. So that's also acknowledging it's not something that can just poof. You know, it's going to take some strategies, you know, grounding forces, you know, people that you can trust, sometimes music that you can listen to kind of relax the setting in your mind. So that way,
growth.
Start telling yourself affirmations are a big thing, right? You know, I mentioned this not as like a professional, but just as something I've observed. Mantras are really, really cool the way they work, because if you can create a statement that's easy to repeat and repeat it to yourself in the time of need, then that in itself becomes an anchoring point. And then you're just like, you know, imposter syndrome is natural. Imposter syndrome is natural. Like, you have to repeat it, but like, if you're able to repeat something and then hold on to that and then kind of ground yourself with it, it helps a lot, because these things tend to just pop up whenever they feel like it, especially in the event of like a due date or some sort of heavy assignment where it's like, this has to be done, or I need to get this out ASAP. When you start thinking that way, then the brain's like, but what if? And you're like, no. But it's honestly realizing that kind of stuff happens a lot and it's natural. You have to be able to get that feedback to help, you know, the praise is part of that feedback, the accolades is part of that feedback. And even if you don't register the same words the same way, like someone will say, that's really good. And you don't think that way. You can just read those words as, all right, it's out there and people are saying good things. That's a good thing. That's a positive statement, right? You know, and then using that and just working with it. You don't have to believe the exact same statement they're saying, but people are saying good things. And that's what matters. People are reacting in a good way. And then not worrying about potential negative. You can't think that someone's going to say negative things before you post it, because there's no proving it without it being posted. You'll never know, if that makes sense. Like, you can think in your head, oh my gosh, everyone's going to say so many negative things about this thing. But how will you know if you don't post it? You know, how do you create this reality in your head before the reality even comes to pass? And then most of the time, and I can guarantee you, probably all of the time, especially for me, what I expected people to say, they never said. So there's just a lot of stuff that goes into this.
People are more likely to compliment you than you think. Yep. Tilt, are you also shit at taking compliments? Because it looks like everybody else is. So yep. are you going to be the one guy on the team who's good at taking compliments?
The answer is no.
I thought it might be.
I'm going to be like everyone else. When people tell me some of my projects and work is decent, I look at them and go, are we looking at the same picture? What's the recent one I did? I was doing product photography, and out of like 500 photos, I couldn't decide on any one of them because they all look like garbage. And then this person like goes, grabs three, and it's like, these three look amazing. Throws them down. Those are what we're going to use. And then they post them, and it's like,
no, why you do this? There's
some flaw to me. You could see the light right here streaking across that motorcycle. You could see this. Like, I point out all the flaws in the image, and they're like, it looks fine. Why are you Why are you nitpicking your own stuff? It's like,
because it does. It makes you nitpick. Like every time you will find every tiny little flaw in every piece of work that you do. Mm-hmm. I understand how that feels. I have body dysmorphia, so I don't perceive myself to look like how everybody else tells me how I look like. You guys could see me in person and I probably would look to you one way, but I see myself another way. So it's kind of like you nitpick your own, like with body dysmorphia, with imposter syndrome, you nitpick everything. It's like, no, this isn't right. That's not right. Everything is wrong. Like throw it in the bin, put it all in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand where you're coming from, Tilp. It's just like, I used to do photography as well. And that is actually one of the things that made me stop doing it. I knew it wasn't healthy. I was critiquing my work in a way that was not good. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to set this aside for a while until I can be free of the fuckery.
It's just, I think what's really nice about this episode is the fact that the four of us all seem to have very relatable circumstances all connected to this event. So once again, it is very common, you know, anyone that's going through this or can relate to this or look up the subject and then read through like I do and be like, wait, this article literally is about me, like seeing yourself in this event.
It me.
Yeah. You're not alone.
It's also that feeling of I'm in this post and I don't like it.
Yeah, that is definitely, especially researching this topic over our hand, I was definitely like, wait, how do you know this? How do you know what I'm going through right now? I need you to stop monitoring my life.
I think it's definitely key to talk about it. You know, one of the things that I think has definitely heavily contributed to imposter syndrome, and I think that you guys mentioned it earlier, is social media.
Mm-hmm.
Social media does present kind of almost like this unattainable perception as far as what good enough looks like. And, you know, I know Anki and I were talking about it, and you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, again, especially female content creators talking about how to, like, I don't, you know, I'm not pretty enough to be a streamer. I'm not young enough. I'm not, you know, this, that, or the other. And so it's kind of interesting in a way. And I think that this applies for anybody, you know, whether you're a content creator or not, you know, whether you're male, female, transgender, whatever. I think that even though social media can be a curse as far as setting those standards, I think social media can also be sometimes a blessing in the fact that, you know, some people do share what they're feeling about that and, you know, kind of being transparent about that in the moment. So, you know, and I know that that's one thing, like, I hate Twitter. I really, really hate Twitter.
It is a hellscape, my dudes. It is a hellscape.
Like, my little, you know, quarter, like, a Twitter, I mean, that's kind of, like, just what I've kind of started using it for. I'm like, I don't care if anybody reads this, but I'm gonna just, like, I'm posting, like, yeah, you know, felt really anxious today about doing this thing. Don't care if anybody reads it, but, you know, if somebody does and, like, looks at some of the stuff that we're doing, then, you know, has that context for, hey, somebody's doing stuff and they feel exactly the same way that I do. I'm not alone in this. So, mm-hmm. But
there,
yeah,
are more people in the pool than you think.
Yeah, definitely.
I suppose it's kind of like not being able to see the forest for the trees. It's like there are a lot that everybody around you is probably experiencing this to some degree, especially if they're in content creation. But everybody's had a doubt about their work at some point, and it just, it's there and it sits and it lurks and it sucks and it's awful.
Yep.
So moving on to the next thing, seeing as we're all pretty much on the same page and we think this is garbage and it has far too much reach and far too much clout for its own fucking good. Dealing with imposter syndrome can be difficult, as we've expressed throughout the podcast today, especially when it's prolonged, like Croa, and it can affect your personal and private life in numerous ways. But there are a lot of helpful ways that you can combat it effectively on a daily basis, like Croa mentioned, mantras and everything. For between the four of us, what do we find has helped us as far as telling that nagging that nagging little voice in the back seat that wants to drive, hey, no, I have the wheel. I will turn this car around if you don't stop misbehaving. We're not going to McDonald's and you can't have any nuggies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you tell that? How do you tell that voice to shut up? How do you tell it to go home?
I would like to go first because I think somebody will actually then later behind me provide a much more healthy and sensible answer. so I'm going to set the low bar here. I basically kind of see it as almost like a person or an entity or something like that. And kind of like, I call it the thief. You know, it is this thief that took all of these things from me, all of this time, all of this opportunity. You know, I think about the thief and all that, you know, the accumulation of everything that they've stolen. And then I make myself angry at it. And I make myself angry. And then I make myself spiteful. And when I'm spiteful like that, because I'm also very stubborn, I'm like, you know what? Screw you. I'm doing this just to spite your ass. That's how I get past it. So yes, let's go for a healthier option to dealing with this.
It's funny that you bring it up as manifesting a thought or an experience as a separate entity is actually very, it's something that is actually used and mentioned as a tool in several situations, because I think that's one of our unique abilities as human beings is the ability to think of things and separate things away from ourselves, right? Like envisioning elements of what we're experiencing outside of ourselves and relating, like being able to kind of do that communication process. And, you know, the article I was reading mentioned, you know, calling them brain goblins. So you're not alone in that department. There's several names for imposter syndrome and creating them as a being or some sort of construct outside of yourself, so that way you can
anthropomorphizing them essentially.
Yeah, and then not relate to it, but like be able to communicate with it and be like, either I won't listen to you because now that you're outside here, now I can put you out of my head, or, you know, kind of the pin effect, you're pinning up on the wall to deal with it later, or things like that. You know, you're able to put it outside of the experience, so it's actually a very good thing to try and use to help with the situation. I know one thing, I recently actually tried this, and I've been trying all sorts of, you know, aside from just researching the subject, relating and reading the topics about imposter syndrome, how other people are doing it. And some of the situations that I've been able to use, for example, is reminding myself of stuff I've done in the past, kind of not like just recognizing that some of the stuff that I want to do now, or some of the stuff that I'm creating now, you know, there were opportunities to release and have had positive moments in the past, and kind of not reliving it, but grabbing the embers of that fire and then using that to light the new one. Just being like, look, you've done this before, or you've done something similar before, and look what happened then. Not all these negative things that you're thinking of happened then, so why do you think it's going to happen now? And just kind of using those as grounding points, or
positive affirmation.
Yep, exactly. Reminding yourself of the things that you've done that can help push the new stuff forward. And also I post kind of like sticky notes on the wall within eyeshot with nice little comments to myself. Because especially when it gets really rough, when it's like the dominating thought, it's like I have to read something outside of myself to help remind me, look, you're good. You got this, you know, things like that. And don't feel bad if you're feeling not up to par. You know, stand up, stretch, walk around for a little bit, take a breather.
Have a glass of water.
Have a glass of water, you know, eat some food. Sometimes it's the little things like those necessities that tend to exacerbate the situation. If you're able to take a break, take a mini break. I recently started learning about like Pomodoro techniques, where you dedicate yourself to the work for a certain amount of time, and then you get up and like force yourself to take a break. So that way you have an opportunity to step away from the moment that is causing the symptoms of imposter syndrome, and you're able to kind of push it out of your mind for a little bit and think about anything else at the time, and then you go back to it. And sometimes that alone is very, very helpful. You know, they mentioned walking outside for a little bit sometimes, you know, going around the block, that helps a lot. The air clearing the head from those negative thoughts. I do that on occasion. It's been raining a lot though, so it hasn't helped out.
Right.
But before, like usually during days when it's not raining, I do like to try to go on a small walk and kind of reassess myself and reassess the ongoing process on which I am currently dedicating myself to, and be like, look, you got this. It's fine.
Disengaging for me helps a lot too. Like if I'm doing something in Photoshop and I am whipping myself into a frenzy and saying, this isn't good enough. Like, why am I doing this? Why do I continue chipping away at this? Like how many times are going to have to redo this graphic, or how many times are going to have to redo the logo? I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to close Photoshop for a bit. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go outside and touch grass. You know, I'm going to go get a cup of tea. I'm going to go give my husband a cuddle, and I'm going to calm down. Because it's not healthy to get so tied up in what you're doing that it makes you feel bad about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
My husband talks to me about this all the time because he's a smart bugger. He is, you know, he's always like, you know, you need to leave it alone. You need to not keep looking at this. And that brings me on to my next point. I am blessed with a sturdy support network of people. And when you're feeling a certain kind of way about something, I know sometimes you don't believe others, but sometimes it just helps, and the right word in the right place from the right person can make all the difference when you are experiencing troubles like this. Because I know there have been countless times, especially throughout this entire project with Light Party, where I've just been like, this isn't good enough. What do I do? What does it need? It needs more spice, or it needs more this. There's a je ne sais quoi that it's missing. And my husband will walk behind me and he's just like, what are you doing that for? Like, why are you pissing and moaning about this? Just post it. It's fine. Look, it looks great. And, you know, I've had this discussion with Dylan. I'm just like, I don't feel like it's good enough. And she's just like, but it looks good. And now my videos look nice and shiny. And I'm just like, I don't believe you, but okay. And it's like that. The right word from the right person can make you kind of acquiesce, take a step back and say, okay, maybe I'm being a bit of a bitch baby about this, you know?
Yeah, it's just bringing it back, you know, kind of like in a mini full circle, I suppose. Like, as I was mentioning earlier in the beginning, this is something that has recently come to the fore, and we're kind of just now realizing this is why it's so hard to do what we do. And I just really think the conversation should definitely continue. You know, if our listeners
keep talking about it,
if our listeners have this experiences, you know, try sharing it, try talking with other people about it. Honestly, I don't know if this is like too much of an invitation. Like, if you're listening to this right now, message us about your experiences with imposter syndrome, so that way it can be shared. If you feel like it, you know, don't feel pressured, but if you feel like sharing that, then you build up this rapport, realizing that there are multiple people out there. And then in itself, it creates a support network that allows everybody here, especially everyone that's working so hard on their fantastic creation processes. It's like being able to see that you're not the only one in the fight. And I think morale is a big thing, and being able to relate to so many people is a huge morale booster. So yeah, share your thoughts, share what you think about this subject, because we are definitely interested to see it. And
suffering in silence is no bueno.
Yeah, don't fight this alone. You don't need to be fighting this alone, because this is definitely something that has been coming up, and a lot of people have been sharing their experiences, and it's been for the better. I've been seeing a lot of people realize, wow, I can still post, I can still write, I can still draw. I'm not bad. I'm not a terrible creator. My brain is making me think that, but that's not the truth.
But you're not. So what about you? What do you find helps? Do you have any tips and tricks for us?
Honestly, I haven't found anything that works other than just kind of stepping away for a little while.
Yeah, I'm in the, other than the support network thing, I'm in the same boat as you. When I'm by myself and I'm creating, definitely disengaging, just taking a minute to not look at the project that I'm doing and disengage from it and say, okay, this isn't my entire fucking life. I can go make a cup of tea and do something else for a bit. Go pet a cat. That's another thing I got to tell you guys. If you are feeling shit about everything, go pet a cat, go pet a dog. They're great. And I think somebody said it's like medically proven to reduce stress levels by umpteen percent. So go pet a pet. And if you don't have a pet, go hug a teddy bear or something, because that also relieves stress. It's decompression, taking yourself out of that situation and doing something that's comfortable, that's nice. I suppose that's another tip, isn't it? Just go and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Stop creating for a minute. Don't push yourself. Put it down. I don't know. Go roll around outside for a bit. Go do something else that you know you enjoy. Like, go watch some stand-up comedy. Go watch a movie that you like. Go watch cat compilations on YouTube, which is my go-to when I'm feeling rubbish about things. There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
I just think it's really interesting that, I guess, the realization that it is a thing that you can say no to, you know.
You can say no.
You can say no.
And you should say no.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Do not let this...
Don't stop to think about whether you should. Just, like Shia LaBeouf says, just do it.
Just do it.
You know?
See, and that meme, even though it trended so hard as a meme, it actually was...
Don't let your dreams be dreams, man.
Helpful, in a way. Because I think he was very serious about that point, despite the meme-age behind it. Don't sit on it, because you do not know the reality that will happen with when you share that content, or when you post that content. You may think you do, right? Because you're thinking about it right now and you're like envisioning the worst results, but that is not the actual reality, because it has not come to pass yet. You have to release it first and then see what happens. And I guarantee you, it's never, never what it is in your brain at the moment you're trying to post this thing. Never is.
Exactly.
So you got to take the jump, right? You got to take that, the phrasing leap of faith, because it's sometimes that little hurdle of what if is very, very daunting and is very, very terrifying. But guarantee you, especially if you are able to have a support system and various tools to work through those moments, whatever results always will be not what your brain thought it would be.
Fair is, I think there's an adage that fear is the mind killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is.
Exactly. Like,
you know, it will cause an action. It plays a large role in imposter system, does fear. So don't let fear rule you, you know, just do what you want to do. Be free. Don't listen to that nagging little voice in the back of your head.
Right.
So that looks like that wraps us up neatly. That's probably all the time we have today. Just to reiterate what we said at the start, none of us are mental health professionals, and these are just our lived experiences only. So don't take what we've said as rote. These are our thoughts, opinions, and our experiences as, you know, people, flesh bags wandering around in the world. And content creators. So in closing, does anybody have any closing thoughts for us? Anything they'd like to impart to our listeners?
You got this.
You got this.
Now, just definitely don't be afraid to reach out if this is something that you're experiencing right now. And if you want that support system, listening to this episode, you now have four people who have shared their stories with this particular system, this symptom in the brain. And you are definitely bound to be able to meet and find many others who are going through the same effect. So feel free to share those experiences, because I think that's very helpful in itself, is to be able to get it out there and be like, you know what? I am a normal person because I am feeling exactly like this. Being able to share that with others and being able to network that way, it's very, very helpful. I think it's something that's really, really good that we can do. And especially in the modern age where we can connect with people who are all over the world right now. You know, it's not just here in the United States, but like creators worldwide, globally. Like I see people who post art from Japan or the Philippines or Australia, and they're all going through the same experiences that I am. And it's like, wow. So it's not just localized. This is literally a global situation. It's fascinating. So, you know, feel free to reach out, because that is something that definitely is helpful, I think.
Sharing can be caring. Okay, so in closing, remember just to take time for you this World Mental Health Day. You know, like I said, go have a cup of tea if that's your thing. Go have a cup of coffee. Settle down. Go and watch something that makes you happy. Go do something that makes you happy if you're having trouble with a project, and just disengage for a little while. I'd like to say thank you to my fabulous co-hosts today for this particular recording. I know it was a tough time for most of us, as this sort of topic is, but it's good to get it out there, to get awareness, and I am very grateful for all of you, especially for checking me on my shit when I'm being a boohoo crybaby.
You're welcome. Happy to do it anytime.
You're welcome.
I know that sounded so sinister, didn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, I'm going to check you on your shit every chance I get. You're going to be in so much trouble.
You would do the same for me. Actually, you do the same for me. So what are you upset about?
I don't even know at this point.
Thank you, everybody. No, this has been really great. And I think that we definitely hope to do something like this again in the future. I don't know if we have a specific schedule for it yet, but yeah, we definitely want to make mental health kind of part of our, I guess, like our fabric, our DNA with
our conversation.
Yeah. You know, I mean, definitely it's something that we want to make people aware of and kind of have that little thread in our gaming life of trying to encourage positive mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether you do it on World Mental Health Day or you do it some other day, if you need help, you know, take any day that you can to go and reach out to somebody.
Yep.
With that, I think we're out. And remember, everyone, like Dylan just said, if you find yourself worrying about your mental health, reaching out to professionals, family, or friends isn't a weakness. It's your first brave step towards recovery.